The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday, April 25th edition of the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I'm your host, Taurus, and we are looking at a three-game slate on this Thursday, going solo, as I break down a bunch of games that are slated to be some pretty close encounters. It's a big contrast from what we saw in the two-game slate the night before, where it actually ended up being the other way around. Miami was expected to be blown out, but instead went ahead and put together their best three-point shooting night of the entire season to come away with a shock win up against the Boston Celtics over there, while the Pelicans just found themselves in a bad situation all night and just got absolutely smacked by the Oklahoma City Thunder. So we'll have a little bit of a different scenario this time around, with three games, all of which have point spreads no worse than five, and that's with the Sixers favored to win by five at home there. But as far as the Orlando Magic are concerned, we're looking at a two-game spread there. The Lakers, which is a straight-up toss-up, with a one-point spread over there as well. So a lot to really think about with regards to which stars we're going to be going ahead and putting our focus on as far as these matchups are concerned. But right before I get into it, as always, if you aren't subscribed to that Sports Ethos DFS Pass, you need to get on that ASAP throughout the playoffs. And of course, with all of the other basketball that's happening there, DFS just never ends. And having our amazing content, including our DFS delivery, our daily pick'ems, and always access to our DFS Pros section on our Discord, where you get connected with guys all the way up until lineup lock to be able to talk through just what is going to make all that difference when you jump into something like this. A three-game slate always has a small margin for error. Our focus is going to continue to remain on the GPP side of things to try and take down some of those big tournaments. But I will mention cash options as we kind of go through some of these different positions today as well. We're jumping right into it here. We're going to start with the point guard slot. And I'm going to be a bit of a spoiler here in that, yes, there are, you know, some of these top options here in that 9,000 range and, you know, the high 8,000s, but I'm trying to save a little bit of money here because I do think that our front court is where I'm going to be going a little bit more of a twin tower kind of strategy on today, and that's really where my lineups have happened to get themselves around. And that really is being supported by the fact that there is some really good value to be able to go ahead and take advantage of as far as the point guard and shooting guard slot is concerned. I'm going to kind of speak about them a little bit together here. That being said, for those who do want to spend up a little bit on here, I do think that both Jamal Murray and Tyrese Maxey are in that slot where you do have that upside for those guys to be able to hit 50 plus. Jamal Murray being at 8,100, who, while he has, you know, had decent games as far as straight up DK point nights are concerned, you know, 50 on the first one against the Lakers and 34 on the second one, which was an absolutely terrible night for him up until the fourth quarter, where he absolutely just woke up and of course hit that amazing game winner to go ahead and close out that game over there. But the one area that has been just continually lacking from him so far has been his shooting spreads. He is shooting only 37% from the field and barely 28% from the three-point line over the first two games. And that is definitely a trend that we are going to start to see and go back towards the mean. Clearly in the fourth quarters in both of those games, he's been able to pick it up and get things going over there. So for Denver's sake, given the fact that in both games so far where they were at home, they were down leading into halftime and had great third and fourth quarters to be able to go ahead and make that up and come away with two wins, I don't think that's going to be as successful a scenario going into LA for a third game over here. And you know, Denver having a lot at this point in terms of a mental edge on the Lakers having won the last 10 games here, I do think Jamal Murray is going to try and get to a much better kind of start rather than just the finish that we've been seeing so far. So for him at 8,100, I do think that's one of the more higher upside kind of money spend up options that are there. And much of that goes into Tyrese Maxey as well, who, on the other hand, has been shooting incredibly well in the two games against New York. It's clear that when he wants to get into the paint, that first step, that Euro step that he's doing has just been absolutely unguardable as far as the Knicks are concerned. It's just been him being able to get to the rim at absolute will. And the fact that he's combining that with shooting about 40% from the three-point line as well, this gives him a lot of pure upside to be able to go into the ranges that he's gotten to so far. So 45 in the first game, 63 in the second game, both of which were disappointing losses for the Sixers so far. So for them to really stay alive in the series, they are going to have to turn it around at home and really put some of that performance that Tyrese Maxey is giving them into results as well. So again, those are really the two areas that I am looking as far as spend-ups are concerned, if you are looking to get into that on the point guard slot. That being said, where I think that I'm going to be looking and getting a little bit more exposure is really going to be from the value sector over here. And it's going to start, first of all, with Kyle Lowry over here at 4,700. Now, we have seen already in the first two games that he's clearly going to be a big minutes player for the 76ers when it comes to the playoff side of things. Obviously, he was playing a lot less minutes during the regular season, an older guy, all of that. But when it comes down to postseason and postseason kind of clutch play, Kyle Lowry is where the Sixers are heavily relying on, not only kind of keeping things calm during the offensive setup, especially as things start to kind of slow down, but also on the defensive end to really be that pest that's going to be keeping Jalen Brunson kind of off of his game. And that's worked pretty well so far in the first two games. Brunson has been kept quite a bit below his season averages as far as shooting percentages are concerned, and even just pure point scoring. And I expect that Philly's combination of size at the wing, as well as pestering defense on the perimeter in general, is going to make it a difficult series for him. So as far as the Knicks are concerned, they're going to continue to rely on some of their other wing options that have really been shooting super well up until now, and really trying to keep up with some of that going forward. So for him, sitting still in that sub 5,000 range, playing consistently anywhere between 34 to 38 minutes, given whatever the game scenario is going to be, where Lowry's going to end up helping you out is the fact that he has that little sprinkling of stats going across the board. Now, he's not the same pure point guard that he was for, obviously, the majority of his career in Toronto there, and his assist numbers aren't where they used to be. He's now used a lot more as that kind of catch-and-shoot offensive player, while also being able to rack up those defensive stats and those rebounds, as he always has been very good at, despite being the undersized self he is. So at 4,700, he has that upside to be able to get into the 30s, which is exactly what you want for a value GPP play. And that's where I'm going to be looking from that perspective.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
On the other hand, I'm moving a little bit into that kind of mid-tier-ish option over there, and that's going to be Austin Reaves at 5,700. Now, his first two games have not been good. There's just no real two ways to be able to put that. His usage is down. His offensive, I want to say, tenacity, and also just his confidence is definitely lower than what we've been seeing kind of earlier on in the season. But where we do have a bit of a ray of light is his shooting percentages take a sharp uptick at home versus away. And, you know, that old adage of role players playing better at home definitely is something that I'm looking at as far as Austin Reaves is concerned. Having shot only 34% from three in the field to nearly 39% from three at home, and that number overall also jumped from 47 to nearly 50% at home as well. And in those games that he did take on Denver during the regular season, his better ones that he had, despite the Lakers obviously not being able to pull off victories in that time, his best one came earlier on in March, where he ended up with 44 DK points on a great 19 and 14 night, where he did shoot 7 of 12 over there. So I'm expecting to see a little bit more kind of coming from him on that side, because the Lakers are definitely going to need it, having been very heavily reliant so far on Anthony Davis, who's having an incredible series, and we'll talk about him a little bit later, but also on him and LeBron just being kind of that guy that needs as much help as possible. And they did get it from D'Angelo Russell in the last game. But as we know, D'Lo is very much kind of off and on as far as his offense is concerned. And if his three-point shot isn't going, he often is hurting you by not really contributing too much in those other areas there. While Austin Reaves, on the other hand, is more of a slasher, does also find himself getting into the mix a lot more, so you'll find him being able to rack up those rebounds and assists on a little bit more of a consistent basis than someone like D'Angelo Russell. And for him being at 5,700, I think that is a good price tag for me to be able to go ahead and jump in on him, with also people potentially being a little bit afraid of going a little bit further with him, given the fact that he's had those two games so far and hasn't looked very good there. So, you know, in a three-game slate, if you can get someone who's going to have slightly less ownership, you know, fingers crossed, that's something that does open up a lot of upside possibilities for a guy who can get into the mid-30s, high 40s at home when he is getting everything going as far as his offense is concerned. And again, the Lakers are obviously trying to keep their series effectively alive at this point too. They can't afford really to lose, I'd say, any games at this point, but they very much need to try and win this first one over here to try and put a little bit of a dent into the Denver Nuggets pride and the Denver Nuggets confidence at this point, given how well their first two games have gone, despite not being kind of great offensively executed games on their end as well. Moving on to the small forward side of things here, and this is where some more of those mid-tier options come into play, so that again, I can get that upside tapped into while still keeping some salary in my back pocket, so that when I talk about the power forward center positions, I'm going to have a little bit more capability to be able to spend there. Now, first of all, I think everyone has kind of seen just how important Josh Hart has been for the New York Knicks in these first two games. And he's really been the reason that they've been able to go ahead and pull out the victories that they have. And in the last game, Josh Hart quite literally played every single minute of the game, 48 minutes, which is insane, to end up with his crazy 21-15 stat line. Obviously had a number of key possessions down the stretch to be able to go ahead and help close that game out for the New York Knicks. Now, I am a little concerned about his capability of being able to reproduce this on the road. Again, we talked about a little bit about Austin Reaves. Josh Hart is, on the other hand, a huge downturn when he goes away from home into the away side of things. His shooting percentages drop from 45 to 40. His three-point percentages drop from 35 to 29. And his overall DK points contribution go on an average from 32 down to 26. Now, the playoffs are obviously a little bit of a different beast, and maybe Josh Hart can carry on his momentum over there. But I am going to go ahead and say that he is likely going to be one of the guys that I end up fading more than I go ahead and take, just given the fact that I think everyone is obviously on him in terms of the performances that he's given so far. But also, I think at 7,300, some of that upside has been taken away. Now, of course, he's put up those two 40-plus games so far, but it really has come on the back of some incredible shooting that isn't necessarily what he has been known for, especially from the three-point line, where he's been pulling up from three off the dribble. You know, Kenny spoke about it on our Monday podcast, where he was just absolutely just shocked at how he's been able to go ahead and hit some of these threes out there completely out of character for him. And, you know, for Philly, who is going to have to make those adjustments to be able to get themselves kind of back onto some sort of level footing over here, I expect that a lot of that focus is going to come on Josh Hart to really force some of these other pieces of New York to look to replicate exactly what Josh Hart has been doing so far. And we're going to have to see what that potentially looks like. So if I'm talking about kind of where my focus is going to be, it's really going to be on kind of three pieces over here in that 6,000 range, that really in order of upside, I would say Michael Porter Jr. at 6,300 is going to be my top pick as far as pure upside is concerned. He himself has always been a little bit of a streakier shooter as far as his offense is concerned, but that is one of those things that it's kind of in his own head than anything else. It's oftentimes more about him being aggressive and continuously kind of keeping himself looking for the bucket and the basket early and often that really gets the rest of his game going. And to his credit, he's done that really well in the first two games against the Lakers, been one of the few guys outside of obviously Jokic who have been consistently efficient in how their offense is going. And he's been able to kind of accompany that with some solid rebounding numbers that has really gotten his upside into that kind of mid-30s, low-40s on a pretty consistent basis. So I think 6,300 at this point, given his role and his importance to the Denver offense, is just far too cheap for the upside that he's offering at this time. And that's going to be kind of where I really spend my focus as far as that small forward, power forward position is concerned. And I think Franz Wagner, who's purely a small forward, is very much in that same boat as well. And that's especially so given how badly Orlando has struggled so far in terms of being able to generate any sort of consistent offense. In both games now, haven't been able to breach the 90-point mark, which is obviously disappointing for a team that has been, you know, quite good at being able to consistently get themselves into that kind of 100-plus and then relying on their defense to be able to get them the kind of wins that they did during the regular season. Now, one of the complaints against Franz Wagner throughout the season has been that ability and his kind of tendency to be able to go ahead and get really, really passive. Like, there's been so many times where he's come out with excellent first halves, often ending up somewhere close to 30 DK points in that time. And you're thinking that, oh, this is going to be an amazing night. He's going to end up 50, 60, and it's going to be something that can really tap into some of that upside that we have seen him have the capability to do when he gets himself fully going. But then he basically becomes a deferred player in the second half, not really looking to take his offense going. And then Paolo Banchero is pretty much relied upon to be able to generate everything on his end to try and get something going. And that's definitely not going to work as far as Orlando is concerned, given the fact that, you know, Paolo himself, obviously a younger guy getting his first playoff experience alongside Franz as well, but also just the defensive focus is so heavily on him, especially given that the fact that he is operating a lot more kind of in that paint, in that mid-range area, which is where Cleveland loves for you to be able to go with both the Evan Mobley and Jared Allen over there to help deter some of that. So it's definitely not been the most efficient or the most successful offense as far as Orlando is concerned. And if Franz can get closer to his 20 points a game that he was throughout the regular season and get himself a lot more active as far as his offensive output is concerned, Orlando's looking at a potential sweep here. So given the fact that they're back home, Vegas obviously thinks that they're going to be able to go ahead and pull a one game out over here. And we know that these four or five series are always one of those that are, you know, much tougher matchups as we kind of get into some of what we have over here. And really effectively, all these teams that were in that kind of 2-6 seed area pretty much had the same record. So it came down to the end in terms of how tiebreakers and everything worked for these matchups. So very evenly matched teams, both the Knicks and Philly, as well as Cleveland and Orlando on paper. But Orlando really hasn't executed so far, and it's going to have to come on the back of Franz Wagner if they are going to be able to get themselves going over there. Next, we move into the power forward and potentially center position as well, which is, as I said, kind of where my focus has been less so on the power forward side, because you do have some of these guys that are dual eligible. So, for example, when I spoke about Michael Porter Jr., he had both that small forward and power forward eligibility. So being able to kind of slot him in into some of those different slots is going to be something interesting over here. But to me, I think the big decision that's going to come tonight is, apart from, you know, whether you're going to end up having that exposure to Nikola Jokic, where the question is going to be whether you want to go with LeBron James or Anthony Davis here, or go completely on that side and fade Jokic altogether. That's really going to be kind of where my lineups are going to come down to. And it really just makes that decision that much more interesting, because both LeBron and Anthony Davis at the moment are in that sub 10,000 range, which I would say Anthony Davis especially, who's, you know, to me, been the most kind of dominant scorer so far that we've seen in the playoffs up until, obviously, Siakam, on the other hand, has been doing some pretty big things on his side with Indiana as well. But in the two games, he has been shooting about 65% from the field, hitting 32 points in each of the two games that he's had, and now put up 65 and 52 in the two matchups that are there. So definitely for his price tag, that upside is absolutely sky high. He's going to be where the vast majority of the pure offense, as far as LA is concerned, is going to be coming from. LeBron, obviously, is LeBron, and he's going to go ahead and do his thing. But you can see that he's looking to be a lot more of a facilitator, especially early on in the game, get those assists going and get also his teammates going before he decides to kind of pick up more of his offensive slack during that second half and then get himself into kind of that 26, 27 point range, which we've kind of always seen LeBron be able to get to. Now, from an upside perspective, with LeBron obviously now playing his full allotment of not only minutes, but usage and everything that changes when playoffs come around, this is what he obviously chilled during the regular season for us, why I've also kind of avoided oftentimes kind of taking him during the regular season, just given the fact that his usage can be up and down, just given how some of the things we've seen as, you know, health and everything else is concerned. And it's clearly worked out for him, for his perspective, to be able to be as healthy as possible here. This is where he's going to go ahead and put it all out on the floor now. And again, as we said, today is effectively a do or die game for LA. No team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit. And I don't expect that this Lakers team especially is going to be any different from that perspective. So they absolutely need this game tonight. And for that to happen, LeBron and Anthony Davis are going to have to leave everything out on the floor. They're going to have to be that kind of 50-plus DK points tonight on both of their respective. And at home, they have obviously the crowd and everything else behind them to help push them towards that as well. So I think where I'm kind of leaning on with this is that, you know, as far as Nikola Jokic and his 11,500 is concerned, he's obviously done great in the first two games so far, but dropping 63 and 75 DK points in the two games that he's done so far, pretty much been at that consistent triple-double range, going with a 27, 20, and 10 game in that last one, which is absolutely nuts. I will never fade away from Jokic altogether. I'll definitely have exposure to him. But if we're talking pure upside, especially if we're talking from a GPP perspective, I think that combination of Anthony Davis and LeBron James is going to be something that I will find myself leaning more heavily into, given the fact that I can, one, have the money potentially saved up to jump both of those 9,000 guys in there, given the fact that I'm looking at, you know, more of that value in mid-tier as far as the first three positions are concerned. But then I'm also kind of expecting that the Lakers are going to be able to keep this super close and hopefully, in their perspective, be going for the win as well, so that those both Anthony Davis and LeBron James would be playing that 40 minutes mark there, being able to get to kind of their upsides, which is definitely 60 plus for both of them when everything is going. And for someone to be sub 10,000 and offer that, even if Nikola Jokic is dropping, you know, 70, which is obviously excellent given his price tag over there, that's still from a dollar to a performance ratio that we're seeing with both LeBron and Anthony Davis is still going to be below from that perspective. So as long as those other picks that we're talking about from an upside value and mid-tier perspective in the first three rounds are paying off, that could very well be the route for you to go towards success. Because technically, with both LeBron and AD being there, you're potentially having the money to be able to go not necessarily from the Austin Reeves and Kyle Lowry area. Maybe you can get yourself up to Jamal Murray and Tyrese Maxey and get some of those picks in place as well, depending on how kind of your lineup construction ends up working out. So lots of interesting decisions to be able to make here. I do think the duo strategy is where I'm going to be leaning further on. But as always, I'd love to hear what you guys are thinking as far as the value plays and your pillar plays are with regards to this three-game slate. So hit me up on Twitter, on Instagram, at HAK_Devil, and talk through your strategy going into what should be a pretty exciting and pretty closely fought playoff night over here on this Thursday. And again, if you aren't subscribed over to Sports Ethos, get yourself on that as well, so you can not only keep track of your live injury report and be on top of all that's going on over there, but also, again, that Discord, there's just so much incredible knowledge that's there with everyone that's going on that you want to be able to go ahead and take advantage of that as much as possible. So get on that Discord, get on that subscription. It's going to be the best money that you spend on there. But as always, let's take down some of these GPPs.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.